Youth Baseball Talk, powered by Baseball U, the nation's youth baseball network. Brought to you by Lineup Media Group. Now, your host, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of Youth Baseball Talk. I'm your host, Jim Cromer, and I'd like to welcome in all of our subscribers and new listeners. Really appreciate all you guys and the things you bring to the show. Been overwhelmed lately with the emails and contacts, DMs, things like that. I know our Monday Morning Solutions program has really sparked a lot of, I'm not going to say debate, because it's great conversation on both sides of the aisle, depending on where you sit. I know everybody has a difference of opinion when it comes to some of these topics, and that's really the whole reason I bring them up. So that's the purpose of it, because without having discussion and without hearing two sides of any type of hot topic, you're never going to make any solutions. You're never going to come up with any fixes to some of these problems. And let's face it, if we all just think that we're right all the time and there's just no gray area and no way to try to make things better, I mean, there is no way to make things better. Things will just always stay the same. And I don't think that's what any of us want for this great game of baseball. So I really appreciate all of our new listeners and new followers, as it's done nothing but help the show continue to grow. And it keeps experiencing this large growth. So, and that's all due to you guys. And it's definitely due to the guests, and can't wait to introduce you to the guests we have today. He's so knowledgeable and has done so much and is doing so much. But we'll get to him in just a couple of minutes. Before we do that, let me tell you a little bit about who we are. We are Youth Baseball Talk, and if you go to youthbaseballtalk.com, you'll learn a whole lot more about us and kind of what we do. We're very blessed to have great people involved with the show, whether it be instructors or just fun, light entertainment type things for the kids and the people that want the lighter side of baseball, with our good friend Domingo Ayala and such. So make sure you check us out, youthbaseballtalk.com. Love Twitter. That's where this whole show started, and that's where it grew from its infancy. At Podcast Baseball is our Twitter handle. It's still one of our best ways to communicate with everybody out there, bar none. Facebook, as always, of course, facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk is always a great way for us to communicate. And we're learning things all the time. And these social media platforms where people can share their own knowledge and their own experiences is how we know what it is that people want to talk about. So please always continue to include us in anything you're doing, and we're happy to get involved. Email, again, as I mentioned before, info@youthbaseballtalk.com. The amount of emails we're getting with comments, they're very surprising. It's blown me away. I did a rant about the strike zone. I couldn't believe the number of umpires that emailed us that said, I've thought this way for so long, but yet I get like kind of almost blackballed when other umpires, when I tell them I think this way, they all think, no, we got to keep the game. You know, I just thought it was great that there were actual umpires that felt that way. I had coaches that disagreed with me. They're like, that's the last thing I want is to sit there. And I understand all that. I think people may have misinterpreted a little bit of what I was saying, but we can talk about that at another time. And because I want to get to our guests. So remember, the best way to make sure that you're keeping up with what we're doing here at Youth Baseball Talk is to just subscribe. Go to iTunes, Stitcher, or any major podcast outlet and click the subscribe button. And then as soon as we release the show, you'll get an alert on your phone, download it, you're ready to go. Ratings are always appreciated. The 5-star variety are obviously welcome if you feel we are so deserving. Proud to be a member of the Lineup Media Group. So many shows coming on air, whatever your entertainment fancy may be. My good friend Pete Caliendo also has a baseball show, The Inside Pitch. Pete's been all over the world with youth baseball and has experienced some unbelievable things, and he has great connections within the baseball community. And if you're interested, make sure you check out The Inside Pitch with Pete Caliendo. As I always ask, my one ask is just share our show with your friends, because that is how it's grown. I know you're listening because you're passionate, I say passionate because I just think everybody is, but I know that's not the case. People sometimes are just interested, or, you know, they're doing their best to allow their son to do what it is they want to do. But I know I have tons of people that are as passionate as I am. Please just share the show with your friends on whichever platform it is that you do so. So if it's Facebook, if it's Twitter, email, just general conversation. That is how the show has grown, and Youth Baseball Talk appreciates it very much. And then, of course, my last shameless plug to our good friends at Amazon. If you shop online, which everybody does, and I do want to thank people. I've seen, you know, I get a report every month, right? And it's amazing. People are no different than me. I see tons of bats and gloves and stuff being bought through Amazon, so I greatly appreciate it. But that's the way you can show us some love. So the next time you're going to shop online and you're going to get something from Amazon, go to youthbaseballtalk.com. Go down on the right, you'll see the Amazon banner, click on it, do your shopping, you're done with us there. We get a little credit for the referral, doesn't cost you a thing. So let's move right along here, as I'm real interested to get to our guest. I've had this opportunity to have some conversation with him before we've done this show, because we talked about a variety of topics and kind of, you know, where he sits on some things, as I was interested, because this guy has been in the game of baseball basically his whole life, and he's done some great things that I think any one of, we say this all the time, you know, we'd cut off our arm just to get the opportunity to do some of the things this guy has done. But I'm gonna set him up here just a little bit. But basically, he's been in the game his whole life. A couple of years of junior college baseball that led to Fresno State, where he played 2 years and then drafted by the Red Sox. 5 years in the minors. And, you know, he had that, he was a catcher, and we all talk about the minds that catchers have to have involved in the game, and that translated into basically an 11-year minor league career coaching for the Red Sox, and then managing some independent ball before he turned his sights to helping the youth, whether it be younger kids or older kids, within the game of baseball. So let me welcome into the show Coach Dave Holt. Coach, how are you?
Hey, great, Jim. I'm just tickled to be with you.
Yeah, I found as I started doing the show quite a while back, and as everybody knows that listens to this show, I'm a dad first, and I have kids that play baseball, but I love to coach and love to be involved, and I became committed to being a better coach, and our mantra on this show has always been coaches should be coached. Once you think you know everything, you become a poor coach. So I want to walk the walk, right? Talk the talk, walk the walk. So I've been blessed to be around some great people, you know, some of the guys that are currently on this show are on a weekly basis giving tips. But when I was doing my research, I found coachandplaybaseball.com, which is kind of your baby, and learned a little bit about you. So before we get to your wonderful website and what it is you offer for everybody out there on a very easy basis, tell us a little bit about you. I gave a little bit of an intro of your history of in baseball, but tell us a little bit about your love and passion for the game and how it's led you to where you are.
Sure, Jim. Yeah, boy, I'm really blessed to grow up in a coach's household. My dad was a junior college coach and high school coach in California in the junior college system there for almost 30 years, and get to tag along with him growing up. And I just love baseball, you know, since I could probably walk, and just kind of one of those baseball rat guys. It probably worked out best for me. I wasn't really the greatest player, the greatest athlete, so I kind of had to kind of grind it out just to kind of keep a uniform on, and kind of hung in there and just battled and always hustled and always kept my ears and eyes open and my mind open and really studied the game, even as a player. And then got a chance to play in high-level college baseball at Fresno State for a couple years under Bob Bennett, and also got into professional baseball and with the Boston Red Sox, and got a little playing time there for a little while. Then as I got finished playing, I got a chance to manage in professional baseball with the Red Sox, and that's where I kind of really cut my teeth as far as looking at baseball through player development eyes. Not necessarily was our job in the minor leagues to win pennants and things, although that was great if you could, but the underlying tone was to develop ball players. And of course, if you develop enough ball players, you're going to win some ball games. But we had to furnish the major league team with talent, and we had to take each player as they were drafted and signed by our scouting system, and try to do what we could to get as much out of them as we can, help them develop, and try to move up the system. And so you're always setting up teams, setting up players, setting up pitching staffs, to try to maximize their playing time and their use, and of course protecting pitchers too. But But player development was on the forefront of everything we did. And when I reflect back on our baseball today, I think the youth baseball today, I think they kind of do it as a major league model. Like it's kind of like win at all costs often, even at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, it's winning. Everything is centered around winning, and the player development's kind of pushed aside. So all through my career, after I got finished, I've kind of been studying and looking and reading and writing, and that kind of put me into this website that I have now, where I've done a lot more writing and reading, studying and stuff. And so that's where I'm at. I've just been a kind of a player development guy ever since I've been with the Red Sox and got out of professional baseball and kind of turned my sights to youth baseball now.
My question to you would be this: as a guy that, you know, is probably to use the word real loosely, probably envious of your position because of this phrase. And do you feel like you've worked? I mean, people say all the time, if you do something you really love, it's not work. I mean, you know, you hear about these guys, you know, that they have these long careers in baseball, and they say, you know what, I've never had a job. I've had a love and a thing. I mean, do you feel like that, even though your role's kind of changed? Has it stayed the same for you?
Yeah, no, it's baseball is probably one of the few things that I know very much about. I'm not very good at much else, so I kind of always gravitate back toward it. I coached in high school for 4 years, and some of the teaching part of that I had to do seemed like work, but after school, when the practice started and the game started, it didn't seem like work anymore. But so the baseball part of it, I don't want to say it comes natural, but it's sort of one of my few strengths that I have, and the interest in and the love in it. So I would have to probably agree with you that it doesn't feel like work. Yeah, that's for sure.
Was being a coach's son, was that a, I mean, we, you know, nowadays, I mean, obviously you and I are, you know, we're on the other side of the player age, right? So we have this new age of baseball player, and maybe it's different today, but we talk about coaches' kids, and we talk about how sometimes it's a bad thing and sometimes it's a good thing. Do you feel like in your environment, being a coach's kid helped you to become what you became in the game of baseball?
Well, I do, because my dad wasn't like a youth baseball coach. He was actually a, you know, professional coach in the college level, junior college level. So it worked pretty nice. Although when I played with him, it was, there's one thing I looked at. I've seen a lot of kids that have played for their dads, and often I've seen some of the worst attributes in kids, that sometimes they become a little bit entitled. I think they become a little bit, I guess, more like spoiled. When I was in high school, I had a coach high school for 4 years. Some of the most challenging children I had, kids that I had, were kids that had been kind of coached by their own dads all the way through youth ball, and they became really entitled and didn't practice hard, often had excuses or alibis and things like that, those kind of things that kind of pull you down. So I think some coaches' dads' coaching situations can be negative if the coach doesn't kind of, you know, treat them like everybody else. And also know that sometimes coaching your own kids can become very, I guess, you kind of butt heads. You know, you might over pick on your kid more than other kids. And I think the healthiest balance would be just to, like my dad would do with me, just let you play, just let you go. Although if you do get out of line, you know, you gotta step back in. But I always kind of say, don't coach your own kid, although you're going to be coaching your own kid on that team, but you don't directly have a lot to do with him. You're not going to be correcting him as much. Try to delegate that to another person on the staff, and the other person may have a child on the team too. So you might work out some kind of a deal where, you know, you coach my kid, I'll coach your kid. And that way we don't have to butt heads with our own kids. And I think it becomes a little bit more healthy that way. But yeah, playing for my dad, I kind of took the approach that I didn't want to do anything that was going to put him in a predicament for my playing time. In other words, I was going to be the last guy at practice. I was going to be the hustling guy. I was going to be the guy that kept his nose clean and did everything you're supposed to do and gave maximum effort. And then if I got playing time, that's great. But I wasn't going to be lollygagging around and then put my dad in a position to not have to justify my playing. So I gave everything I had and gave him the chance to make the decision on my playing time. But I didn't want to put him in a pickle to say, boy, this kid's, he's not one of the top leaders on the team or top players or top hustlers on the team. So I always gave maximum effort to help my dad out as far as giving me playing time.
Yeah, you know, I've always admitted that I think my shortcoming, both as a parent and a coach, has been, as you mentioned, on the second phase, and that was that I was committed. You know, I had this thought in my mind of the last thing I want is for my son, as a coach's kid, to be that entitled kid, to be the excuse maker, to be all this. But what I found was that in my own issue, I went the other way too much, and it became exactly as you described. And I've over the years I've gotten better, and actually implemented one of your techniques you just mentioned, and that was using your assistant coaches in those roles. But I think what happens is that we become, you know, we become so sensitive sometimes of, I don't want anybody outside that fence to think that I'm giving my kid extra treatment, or so we're almost a little harder on them. Your kids are smarter. I say this all the time. Kids are smarter than we give them credit for. They begin to take it personally, especially as they mature, and then it damages the relationship. And while I have a great relationship with my kids, it's not always perfect on the baseball diamond by any stretch. I've never claimed that it is, and I'm no different than everybody else out there, and where I'm sifting through it and trying to figure out the best way to do it. And it's thanks to guys like you and a guy I want to talk to you about now, Mike Matheny, and some of the things he's done that I think have kind of put some things in perspective. The reason I bring up Mike Matheny is because, you know, he was a very influential a figure in why I started the show. Nothing to do with the fact that he was a major league player. Nothing. Well, that's not true, because I guess sometimes when a guy has played at the highest level, and especially now coaching at the highest level, we tend to give them a little more credibility, and deservedly so. But it was his letter that he wrote when a bunch of people asked him to coach their kids, and then later on he wrote a book, and that was right when the show started, and it was kind of the inspiration of the show. But as I got to know a little more about you before we really met, when I was not, it wasn't that I was researching you, but just researching your stuff as a dad and a coach, is that I find that your similarities, both in your opinions of when it comes to parenting, when it comes to coaching, when it comes to development, boy, it mirrors each other quite a bit. So I guess my first question would be, are you aware, and I'm sure you are, of Mike's, both his position and the things that he's done, and kind of, you know, what came first, chicken or the egg? Did you see this stuff and you're like, holy cow, that's what I think? Or were you like, did you see Mike's stuff and be like, man, I've always kind of thought that, and here we go. Like, what were your thoughts on that?
You know, gosh, Mike Matheny's manifesto, when I saw that, it was just like affirmation for me of what I'd been thinking for years and years and years. That's my approach. That's my look at things. It was just like, wow, you know, a player from his success, and now, you know, then he, you know, step in to be a manager. You know, he's got super credibility in the game as a person and as a professional and as an athlete. And for him to come out and state those things, I actually wrote some things that I thought that was probably the best thing that ever happened to baseball as far as youth baseball, was Mike Matheny's manifesto. And I had been thinking the same things practically almost, I wouldn't say word for word, but he laid it out perfectly and as you can do. And I've affirmed those things for years. And I said, yeah, man, right on, that someone else is thinking the same thing I have and approaching the game the way he does. And I think that should be like mandatory reading. Anytime someone signs up for youth baseball, that should be handed over to the parents, and you know, they should check that out and look at it. And I hope it is spreading around. I know I try to spread it around as much as I can. And the letters, awesome. The book is just a good read. There's no doubt about that. Kind of gives a little more background in him. But his letter just, I think it changed the outlook on how we look at baseball.
You know, as healthy as the letter is, and as healthy as your message is, and it's, you know, and again, for those that are following along, coachandplaybaseball.com, you'll learn a whole lot more about Coach Holt and what he does, what he offers. And then obviously when you get to the main page and stuff, you're going to see where there's some sections in there for this exact topic, which is great. But when you get, you know, some of that is a philosophy, and you know, we're never going to get away. Nobody's ever going to agree 100% on the on how you do anything, because I don't know that there's a perfect way. I've had some great guests on that say, look, if somebody tells you they know for sure this is how to do something, turn around and run, because, you know, we don't know. I mean, we're all just trying to do the best we can here. But when you get past philosophy, and when you get past this is really the way to go about things, you start getting into some real serious topics. And I know you and I talked off the air about a couple of the recent, again, I'm not going to say controversial, because I, you know, controversy is something, in my opinion, that's not good. I think when you can have a healthy discussion about topics that need addressed, I like to say that's the way you become informed and become educated. And that's two of the things I've talked about most recently that I know you wanted to touch on. The very first one that I know you're passionate about is the a youth arm epidemic. I think there's just a general arm epidemic, if you want to say that. But we talked a little bit about the very first rant I did, which was some of the things I was seeing at these tournaments with kids. And I'll just start by asking you this question. You coached at a very high level. You played at a high level. When you coached in the minors for the Red Sox, you probably at some juncture had some of the best up-and-coming arms in baseball, would be my guess. Would you have ever asked any of those guys, grown men, peak physical condition, probably some of the best athletes on the planet, would you have ever asked a grown man to go out and throw three or four innings one day and three and four innings the next?
I could not ever remember even entertaining that thought. You know, there's... I might not have been around too long. You know, those players are investments, and you know, you gotta use a little common sense. I know there's all kinds of ratios and stuff like that, but if someone was to pitch three innings like a professional pitcher, he's gonna probably be shut down for two days, and then he might be able to come back that third day. I mean, he might be able to come back the second one day off, and the second day come back and pitch one inning or so, or maybe come in and get a couple of hitters out. That's not really out of the question. But to go three innings back to back, or three or four innings on back to back days, I could never remember ever putting in a pitcher in that kind of position. No.
So if you're not going to ask the greatest athletes in the world that are fully developed, that are probably in the best shape of any pitcher, right? These people are conditioned to do just this.
Right.
Why do coaches every weekend ask 10-year-old kids to do this?
Yeah, it's nuts. It's just it just gets down to I call it winning at all cost. You really don't consider the kid's health or his well-being in the long term. You're just looking for see if you can get a trophy in that weekend tournament. And you know, I've got articles and things that I've written about, not saying I know everything, but I've got kind of a plan of how to develop a pipeline of pitchers. And I think when you get on these travel teams, I think you almost have to you know, if you're going to play a four games on the weekend, that's if you go six innings, that's 24 innings, and if you're playing seven innings, it's even more. So you got 24 innings of pitching to gobble up. That's if you play four. You might even get a fifth game in there. So how are you going to spread that 24 innings out? I think every kid on the team has to pitch. Just about, it's almost like a prerequisite that if you got a 12-man roster, you know, about 10 of them need to pitch. And maybe, you know, they're not going to be frontline guys, but you know, they all need to take their turn and share some of the innings. Otherwise, you're going to get this back-to-back three innings, or, you know, a guy goes six and comes back, pitches a couple more the next inning. And then that's when you start putting guys in predicaments where they're being overused. And usually those better pitchers are probably playing prime throwing positions too. Like, you might be playing shortstop, third base, or catcher. And so you're not only taxing them on the mound, but you're probably taxing them in the fielding positions too. So there's no doubt that you're putting someone in a compromising position when you're asking from that many innings.
I just played in a tournament over Memorial Day weekend, a big, I guess if you want to call it, prestigious tournament. You know, anytime people start saying NIT, you know, they act like it's a World Series. So
yeah.
I never pay attention to the pitching rules, and I'll even have like my assistant coach every now and then go, hey, do you want these? And I'm like, no, because I guarantee you our pitching rules are more stringent, so I really don't care. So we were 2-0. The team we were playing was 2-0, and they brought this kid in to pitch, and I mean he was obviously very, very good, but I was watching over there, and the coaches kept huddling up, and they were charting and doing all this stuff. And I said, "What are you doing?" The guy goes, "Oh well, he can only get 8 innings in this weekend, and we threw him 2 the first game, 3 the second game, and we're trying to decide if he throws 2 or 3 against you, how many he'll have tomorrow." And I'm like,
wow.
And I go, "So you've thrown him every game?" "Well, yeah, but I mean, he gets 8." And I go, "Why would you do that?" And he goes, "Well, that's the rules." And I'm just like. So I just, and here's the thing, and this is what I don't understand, okay? I say this all the time. The kid was dominant, no doubt about it. He was their shortstop. He was their number 3 hitter. He was bigger, mature than every other kid, and the parents were loving it. The parents were out there cheering it on. They were loving it. And I don't know how we fix this, because it's a monumental task, because mom and dad love it because kid's doing well, right? And coach loves it because he looks like a genius because he's got this one kid that he throws every game almost, right?
Right.
It's just, you know, I don't know how we fix it. I don't know what the answer is, because the answer really is you gotta fix it at the root, and the root is the tournament rules, right? The easy way to fix this is, if you throw this many innings, you can't pitch the next game, can't pitch the next day, whatever it is. The tournaments aren't going to do that, because people are going to say, well, I can't play because I can't win, right?
That's right. So many of the adults, you know, whether you be a parent or a coach, are so enamored, they're intoxicated by the winning. And I just think it drives so much of what we see in the wrongs. And it puts puts players in these positions, and I don't know how you get. I mean, it's if you get accused of being un-American if you don't think you're trying to win, but when you try to win in this fashion, it's like you said, it borders on abusing kids and putting them in positions where they're going to get hurt. So. How do you find a balance between being American and try to be competitive and trying to win, and then try to look at it the other way on the flip side of being a player development guy and watching out for the best interests of kids like you would do, like I would have a staff of 10 or 11, 12 minor league pitchers, and I gotta develop those kids, but yet keep them healthy as a professional manager. How do you look at that in a youth league level or a travel ball situation? I think you have to look at it from the same eye level, and I don't know how you get rid of the winning part of it as being so important. That's where it's kind of backwards. And then if you get accused of backing off on the winning, then they can look at you cross-eyed like there's something wrong with you. So, yeah, I don't know where it comes out. It shakes out. But I know the winning at all cost philosophy is not healthy for our kids.
I think I mean it's my own opinion, but the instant gratification is what it's about. I mean, think about it. I mean, trying to tell somebody I'm doing this for his long term health. Well, they can't see long term, right? So it's like
they can't see it. Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I kind of look at it like. Let's see if we can try to get our kids to hang in the game long enough to make the high school team, and that's where I kind of like pretend like the local high school teams are the local major league teams, and everything underneath the high school is like the minor league farm system for the high schools, and so everything below high school to me is player development, is minor leagues, is trying to develop players and trying to develop a whole pipeline of pitchers, but that message, you know, to me doesn't get out too far. It doesn't go well. But I think if you could kind of look at it as a local major league team, as your local high school ball clubs, and everything else below that is you try to win games, of course, but in a way where you're going to develop ball players, and you're not going to pitch guys into compromising positions when you're developing ball players.
It was interesting to hear you say that earlier, because I put a pretty passionate post on Facebook about this topic, and my line in it was that, you know what, you put pitchers in, you let them pitch, you let them see how they do, and if you lose, you lose, right? So I right. got accused of being, to your, it's funny, I mean, that was un-American. That's what's wrong with society, is that we don't care about winning anymore. That's what's, you know, that's why we lost Vietnam, because that, you know, those people didn't care about winning like they did in I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, that the whole, you know, society is crumbling because we don't care about winning, and nothing could be farther from the truth, especially on my end. I mean, I'm as competitive as they come. I want to win, but like I told the guy, I said, listen, all I'm telling you is that I'm not going to do it to the detriment of a 13-year-old child. I'm not going to risk his health to win a game that at the end of the day, nobody's going to remember, and it doesn't mean really anything at the end of the day. So it was interesting to hear you use that analogy, because people, I think, when you bring that up, sometimes they think, oh, come on. But it's true. I mean, I literally had comments talking about how not caring about winning is ruining our country. And it's like, well, I mean, there's a part of me that kind of almost feels like, yeah, I get that. I mean, yeah, we should be competitive, and we should always want to be good at what we do, and we should always work and always do that. But that has nothing to do with this. This is about you want to win? Okay, you want to win? Do it the right way and win when it matters. And I think that's kind of what you're getting at with the whole high school thing. And I've always said as a coach, and for me, like I have, it's not a, I mean, I, our job, I mean, you quote unquote job, is to get the kids ready for the next level, whatever that is. And people look at me when I say that, and I'm like, it could be middle school baseball. It could be high school baseball. It could be them coming to me saying, coach, I really think I'm ready to go play for one of these big organizations that plays in these real big, whatever that is. I just, when they leave me, I want them to, when they show up, they kind of know what they're doing, and then let somebody that's even better than I am at what we do take over from there. And to me, that's the thing. On that note, we're going to take a quick break as we're going to come back to Coach Holt, because I want to get into some of the stuff that you're doing now in that development phase for kids. You've basically taken your years of knowledge within the professional game, all those years of being raised by a true baseball coach, and what you've done is you've created this wonderful website, tremendous books, tremendous blogs, tremendous information. I mean, we talk about this show being an avenue of information to people, from people like yourself to the people that want it. Well, if you go to coachandplaybaseball.com, I assure you, you're going to see so much on here that we talk about on a weekly basis. And one of the things that's on here that I can't wait to discuss, because our big thing here is coaches need to be coached, you offer a free 4-day coaching course, which you talked about the Matheny Manifesto should be mandatory reading for all parents. Something, this thing that you're doing should be mandatory for all coaches. And I'm sure you would say it doesn't have to be from you. Just get it from somebody that's doing it for the right reason. So I want to take a quick break. And when we come back for part two of our interview with Coach Dave Holt, I'd like to talk in there. Are you okay to stick through to the other side of the break there, Coach?
Oh, I'd be glad to. No problem.
Okay, we're going to take a slight break, and when we get back, we're going to hear from my good friend Rick Strickland. We're going to hear from Justin Stone with EliteBaseball.tv. And, of course, we're going to hear from everybody's favorite, Domingo Ayala, brought to you by The Pitch Hitter for Domingo Ayala's Theory of Baseball. I'll see you on the other side of the break.
Attention coaches, parents, and student athletes. Here at Youth Baseball Talk, one of the most common emails we receive from mom and dad are about the college recruitment and selection process. Far too often, these emails do not have happy endings. Let me tell you about our friend Mark Lineweaver in Perfect Placement. Perfect Placement identifies and helps you with important decision-making factors which are way too often overlooked in the college recruitment process, such as, is it the right student body size for you? Is it a comfortable proximity from your home? Do they offer your desired field of study? How about extracurricular activities that interest you? And of course, the proper level of competition for your skill set. Once they've identified these factors, they will contact those colleges and speak directly to the coaching staff in an effort to help you. To learn more about Perfect Placement, simply check out their website, perfectplacement.com. That's placement with a Y. To contact them, you can email them at info@perfectplacement.com. Remember, that's placement with a Y. Call 310-921-8669 for more information. That's 310-921-8669. Perfect Placement, specializing in assisting your student athlete.
Hi, this is Jim Cromer, host of Youth Baseball Talk. When I'm not doing my show, I'm very busy coaching my son's baseball team. We head south every year to enjoy their awesome facilities with grass infields that their region provides. Now we can stay home and enjoy that same experience thanks to the new Gateway Dream Fields located in historic St. Charles, Missouri. Gateway Dream Fields were built to provide the St. Louis area and Midwest region with an opportunity to play on some of the finest fields in the country. You will find Bermuda grass infields, age-appropriate field sizes and outfield walls, along with a spectacular two-tier fan observation area on the main fields. To learn more about this awesome facility and the great tournaments that they provide, simply go to gatewaydreamfields.com. That's gatewaydreamfields.com or call 314-409-0530. If you're looking for that old-fashioned baseball feel, then look no further than Gateway Dream Fields. They were built just for you.
Hello and welcome back to the second half of our show here with Youth Baseball Talk. Special thanks to our sponsors there over the break. And we, of course, as always, we appreciate you supporting our sponsors as they're the lifeblood of our show. Let's get to one of everybody's favorite segments and hear from our good friend Domingo Ayala and his theory of baseball. And special thanks, as always, to the Pitch Hitter, a great device, training device for all kids out there. As we always say on the show, everybody should be pitching, and that would help with the arm epidemic. The first thing that everybody says is, well, maybe you have 10 kids that throw strikes. I don't. Well, maybe you should. And if you want to, go to thepitchhitter.com. I think you're going to find a device that will help all your kids learn how to throw strikes and have a good time while doing it, as endorsed by our good friend Domingo Ayala. So without any further ado, let's hear from Domingo Ayala as he addresses the slump. The dreaded slump that we all have from time to time. Let's see how Domingo deals with slumps. Domingo, take it away.
Hey, gracias, Jim. And thank you to the Pitch Hitter. If you don't want to be semi-pro and you want to throw more strike, use a Pitch Hitter. Now, today I want to talk about the slump. This one, it seems like you have a tough time to get a hit. And this can be a very tough time in a player's mind when he's going through one of these. So my best advice for someone who's going through this is just don't go into panic mode and start changing everything. You start changing your stance, moving around in the box, trying to fix your swing. Before you know it, you not even know how to hit the ball. You have to understand everyone go through slump during their career. And if they don't, they probably never play past 10 years old. Or they're me. No, but actually, I went through a slump before. I was in a bad slump one time. I was actually 1-for-4. But you just have to battle through, all right? Now, Jim, there's a difference, though, between a slump and just a bad hitter. Sometimes people don't understand. I had someone come up to me one time and ask how to get out of a slump. I say, hey, man, your career batting a .220. That's not a slump. You're just a bad hitter. Let me tell you something. To be in a slump, you have to be hitting worse than what you normally hit. So in other words, if I have a week where I bat about .450, that's a slump to me because it's worse than what I normally hit. Either way, don't let a slump get you down because that's when it gets even harder to get yourself out of it. Just understand it's part of the game and you get out of it sooner or later. Well, that's all I got for today. And remember, if you want to command the strike zone, use a pitch hitter. It works every time.
Thank you, Domingo. You are so right. I
I think that everybody slumps from time to time, and that was great advice. So special thanks again to the Pitch Hitter. Don't forget, pitchhitter.com. PH10 gets you 10% off your Pitch Hitter today. Make sure you use that promo code. I promise you, you get this Pitch Hitter for your team or your little guy, it's going to make a big difference in what type of player he becomes. And of course, once you start throwing strikes all the time, then you got to turn the thing around, turn it into a batting tee, work on your hitting, because hitters don't set. So special thanks again, pitchhitter.com. PH10 gets you the 10%. All right, let's take it on over to my good friend Justin Stone with his Elitebaseball.tv Majestic's Coach's Corner. Coach Justin, take it away.
And we're going to change it up a little bit this week, and it's a subject I feel like we could talk a long time about with several different areas, and it's base running. You've been out in your games for a while, and we talk about hitting fundamentals, pitching fundamentals, and how all that comes into play. But in reality, base running is one of the most important pieces of the game, and is also probably the area of youth baseball that is done the worst. We don't go over it enough in live situations and practice. And I'm going to point out just a couple key, simple reminders that can improve your game on the base pass. Number one, knowing the number of outs is something we talk about all the time, but as coaches, we constantly give the number of outs to the players. Oftentimes, this goes in one ear, out the other. We're not really paying attention. So let's put the ownership on the player himself to give the number of outs to the coach. So how we do this and what we expect of our players is when they get to first base and we're taking the sign on the bag, I'm also giving the number of outs. Two hands, one, two, however number of outs that we have right there, I'm signaling it to the coach while he's giving the signs. Puts the ownership on the players, and we know for a fact that they know the number of outs. Next, an area I feel like is really underutilized is knowing where your outfielders are all the time. This can play an important in taking an extra base, going from first to third, or certainly from second to home, which also factors into play our secondary lead. Even at the youngest levels of travel ball, most of the time we're leading off now. And I don't feel like players get in an aggressive enough secondary lead, and that leads us to not being able to take extra bases in two different areas. So I've checked the number of I've checked the depth of the outfielders. When I get my secondary lead, that will allow me to not only get to second base or third base quicker, but be able to make the turn and take the extra base. How we're going to take our secondary lead is this. Whether you're just listening to me in your car or whether you're watching us on the youthbaseballtalk.com version, where you can see this video, I'll explain it so even if you can't see us, you can understand it. Once I go for my primary lead and the pitcher begins his motion to home plate, I'm going to take two or three shuffles, depending on the athlete and the level that you're playing at. You know, closer mounds, closer bases, you may only get two shuffles in. On a 60-90 field, some good athletes can get three. But those shuffles are going to keep us in our athletic position. I want to land in a 50-50 position, and you want to see me gaining ground. Oftentimes when players do this secondary lead, they may take one shuffle, they may just cross over, but they're not really getting any distance or momentum created towards the next base. So if I want to take that extra base at some point, I want to make sure I'm aggressive at my secondary lead, I land in a 50-50 position that gives me a two-way go. A two-way go means we can read the ball off the bat down and immediately have momentum into the next base. But if the ball is caught by the catcher, the player swings through it or doesn't swing at all, I'm still in an athletic position where I can get back to the bag. We know there's more danger in getting further off the base. Catchers can backpick us. But if I stay in my 50-50 position at landing, I can quickly burst back to the bag. And we always make those first two steps in either direction as hard as we can. If a catcher sees me lingering off the base and lollygagging back to my original base, more likely to draw a throw. But if I get into my athletic position, the ball's caught, and I'm hard back to the bag in my first two steps, he's not as likely to want to give us a back pick. The next way this can assist us is starting to read downward angle. And I want to do this from the youngest of age. 9 out of 10 times, if we can get a jump on this read, reading downward angle out of the pitcher's hand on a ball in the dirt, we're going to be successful in taking the next base. This is something that we have to do in practice. As a coach, I get on the pitcher's mound, and I'm throwing balls to a live catcher or another coach, and I purposely will one-hop some of them in. Players need to read that trajectory out of the hand. We see downward angle that's going to hit the dirt. I can already take my jump towards the next base before the ball is even touched by the catcher. If we get this type of jump, we're going to be safe 9 out of 10 times, maybe more than that. Occasionally, you will get that catcher. It gets a clean one hop, and he's able to throw a guy out. But even our slowest of base runners, if we get this type of jump and read downward angle and take off before the ball hits the ground, we're more likely to be safe. So that's another way that secondary lead can help us take extra bases. So recapping what we can do on the bases for today to help us in our next game, signaling the number of outs to our coach when he gives us a sign, puts the ownership on the players. Making sure I check outfielders so I know when I can take that extra base and when the guys are playing shallow and I have to be more cautious. We're trying to get a secondary lead that gets me momentum towards the next base. I'm covering ground as I do so. Two or three shuffles that allow us to land in an athletic position with a two-way go. And finally, out of that, we're starting to read downward angle out of the hand, always trying to find a way to take the next base. For this week's base running tips, I'm Justin Stone. Come check us out at elitebaseball.tv. And until next week, we'll see you on the field.
All right, great stuff as always from Justin. Typically at this stage of the game, we hear from my good friend Rick Strickland over with the St. Louis Pirates and his Sandlot recruitment tip of the week. But like all people, and I don't know how he did it, Rick's on vacation, which I don't know how a baseball guy takes vacation in the summer, but I guess he gets one from time to time. So we're going to give Rick a week off here and let him enjoy himself with his family. As most people know, when you're in the game of baseball, you really cut into family time in the summer. I'm glad Rick was able to take that time with his family. I know he's driving across the country, kind of like vacation with Chevy Chase. So hopefully he doesn't come back with some of those same stories. But Rick, if you're listening, have a good time. I know you are. So, of course, we want to thank our good friends at Ripken Baseball, ripkenbaseball.com, some of the best venues in the country, definitely destination-type tournaments for your team. Take the time to start looking now. You know, they're not your typical tournaments. It's not something you look at and say, oh, I think I'll play here. These are tournaments that you want to plan for. These are events. They're not just tournaments. They put on a quality product that's second to none. So make sure you're going to ripkenbaseball.com. When you click in there, how you heard about Ripken Baseball, you'll click down, find Youth Baseball Talk, and you'll receive $300 off your team's entry. But I firsthand played in the one in Myrtle Beach, and I got to tell you, it's something my kids will never forget. They have a great complex in Aberdeen, Maryland. Of course, they have the great complex in Myrtle Beach. And, boy, it's just what you hear. So you play baseball, and then you're on the beach an hour later. Fantastic stuff. And, of course, their new, wonderful, beautiful facility in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. So special thanks to our good friends at Ripken Baseball, an experience like none other. So, and, of course, the Ripken way. Make sure you're checking out what Cal Ripken's doing out there with the game of baseball. He's really in this for the kids, and he's put out some quality stuff in the past and always continue to do so. So special thanks to everybody over at Ripken Baseball. Well, that's our show for the week. Really enjoyed having Coach Holt on for today. You know, we talked a little bit about some philosophies and things like that. Next week, you're going to hear part two of the episode with him where we kind of get in a little bit more to his coachandplaybaseball.com website. Check it out if you want to be a little more educated for when that show airs. But without question, there's something on there for everybody, and I want to dive into that a little more with him next week. But until that time, special thanks to my producer, Brian, and his intern, Stone. The show's not possible without these guys and all the work they do behind the scenes. And, of course, make sure you're checking out lineupmediagroup.com. You know, obviously, you're interested in more things than just youth baseball. I guarantee you'll find some show on there that tickles another one of your entertainment funny bones. So very proud to be a part of this network and where it's going. I'm your host, Jim Cromer, and I'll see you next week.
Youth Baseball Talk, powered by Baseball U, the nation's youth baseball network. Subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever you listen to the show. You can find us online at youthbaseballtalk.com, facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk, or on Twitter at Podcast Baseball. Plus, check out all of the LMG Network's podcasts at lineupmediagroup.com.